Welcome to Laugh It Up Fuzzball. I am Joe the Wookiee Riot. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and everything, but mostly geek stuff. A place where we get to let our geek flag fly and talk about all things geek. As I've said before, this isn't an amalgamation of geek news or a comprehensive guide to all genres or the world of geekdom. Hopefully it's just a fun place to cover some geek news, comics, The Simpsons, Star Wars, or whatever randomness finds its way onto the recording. But let us get started.
Take it away, Blue.
What? Oh, hey, hi, hello. Welcome to level, I already forgot the number.
392.
393. It's even better.
I got 394. 394
going once. 394 going twice. Sold at 393. 393. Episode 393. Wow. 393. That's insane. Here we are. Hi. I'm Blue. I know this is a little bit of a shock for all of you. However, the Wookiee has generously and graciously and gratefully
and lazily
given me the reins for tonight. And this is a very special episode of the podcast where we will be discussing some very interesting topic. Joe, we had a little bit of a lull. Yeah, you. We had a little bit of a lull in deciding, like, you know, what we were going to do for this weekend. We had some stuff planned. Those plans kind of fell through. And now...
Yeah, Roman, get better and get the day off.
yeah, feel better. I believe in you. Yes. And but with that being said, he has given me the reins to go ahead and do something that I've had on my mind for a little bit. Are you ready, Joe?
Oh, I'm ready. It's so interesting to because I didn't give you like any format or anything like that.
You told me absolutely nothing. Yeah.
You just described yourself as Blue, so you didn't get the Benjamin Blueford Blue the Fourth, the Earl of Blueberry.
Yeah.
You didn't get the Laughing Up Fuzzball, Zuh means friends, any of that. It's lovely. I love it.
Yeah. It's just different. It's wild. It's weird. It's wacky. But we're going through with it, and this is where we're at. You know, you had asked me if there was anything that's been on my mind lately, and as I had been talking to some friends, I actually have a friend who is here from Israel right now, and I got to see him on Monday night. Yeah, Monday night.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really great nostalgia talking. And, you know, chilling, because I've known him for like 10 years and, you know, we go back to like DeviantArt days of doing artwork on the computer and making comic books and stuff like that. And it was really interesting because he said some stuff and then about like comics and stories that he really enjoyed. And then I started thinking more about it. And then you asked me like what I wanted to talk about. And I was like, yo, I actually have a topic that I would like to talk about. And we chose the second one. And it's about like lore, story, and then the deeper lore behind the story. Like, what about this deeper lore? How do you, as a person, you dear listeners, and of course, this is directed at Joe as well, how do you like to get that extra information? How do you scratch that deep lore itch? What's your favorite way to do it? Because I ask this because as an avid video gamer and story reader, movie watcher, show enjoyer, I have to say that I have some opinions on how I like to get my lore. And there are all sorts of different ways to get your lore. You can have your lore handed to you through like an initial story. And then, oh, we're going to do a side story or we're going to do a prequel. And you can have it handed to you. You can have some that are like visually told, like in the backgrounds of scenes and stuff. Like you pause a movie and you look in the back and you go, oh, you know, this says that. That must mean this, and you get your deeper lore that way. Or you can have, like, let's say in a video game or a comic book, you go to the back of the book or you look at an item description or something, and it'll give you like an item and a quick like history of that item, and it'll mention someone or something that you know, and it's like, whoa, how does that tie into their like deeper story? Like, what else can I find? And then you start like deep diving yourself. So what's your favorite way to ingest that deep lore? What's your favorite way to get it, Joe?
So, you know, when you mentioned it, like, I think my response was, because it's like, wow, that question makes me ponder, as Ralph Garman would say, because one of his listeners, it is a ponderous question. It's ponderous. I think initially, without like diving into deep thoughts about it, it depends on what we're talking about and how much I love it. So If I love something, just based off like being a historian and like the kind of like personality I am, I love researching stuff. I love learning more things. So sometimes I enjoy uncovering the lore on my own, like through my own efforts. Granted, like somebody else has collected the information for me. But yeah, like especially like Star Wars. And I think like in the before times when there wasn't as much information and you really had to sleuth some of the lore like out and figure it out and like talk to people and have conversations. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that was that was before like gatekeeping was really a thing. You did have people like, you know, at the gates of geekdom, but you were always so eager to have like-minded individuals that you weren't like closing the gates against anybody, because you're like, well, shit, nobody's really coming to this park anymore. So like anybody that wants to come, I should allow in, regardless of their opinions. Now I'm trying to think like, so I mean like lore, exposition, you know, by any other name, right? So if I don't really know the property and I'm not going to dive terribly deep into it, I appreciate some good, well done exposition. The problem is like that's a very, very hard task. It's very hard to give all that lore and not like slow the story, because you always have that, you know, show versus tell, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I know what you're talking about, like where some of the lore, like I've seen you play the games where like you pick up an item and if you are inclined, you can read all that text that somebody has like painstakingly made for that item and like learn more about it. Or you just be like, oh, cool, a new sword, and like move on with your mission, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, I have played some games like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, KOTOR, you know, I'm always going to mention that if I get a chance. Mm-hmm. Fable 2. I mean, I've played nowhere near the same amount of games, but I think I even remember like in some of the old like Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, like having like Link or Mega Man, where like something you got, if you were so inclined, you could read more and like learn more and like start piecing together the story. So yeah, it's it depends. Is that a punkin' out of the question answer?
No, absolutely not. I think you're right. I think it really depends on like what we're kind of, I think it comes down to is how they are feeding us the initial media. Like, have they established like with Star Wars, I feel like they gave us a whole thing, this big cinematic, like incredible blast of like, here's an epic space story. But the way that they kind of like hinted at things like, oh yeah, your father and I were part of the Clone Wars back in blah blah blah, and those little tiny bits, well, what the fuck is the Clone War? What the hell happened? What happened to the Clone Wars? You were with his dad? That's crazy. And it sparks your interest like that, you know. But I feel like the Star Wars, initially the Star Wars lore stuff, I feel happened unintentionally. Like they're trying to tell this story and they're kind of leaving it. I feel like they told the story, you know, they got the three movies out and they're like, oh yeah, like somewhere down the line, we can tell like what happened beforehand. And if we want, we can have stuff happen after. Right. And, right. But I don't think they counted on, because geekdom and nerddom and going into things and media wasn't really a thing back then. That wasn't like like something that they had to account for. And then later on, they were like, oh, people were really paying attention to the script. Like, what the hell? What do we do? And it's like, well, let's fucking expand on it. We said that he was part of a clone war. Let's make a clone war. And they're like, oh, yeah, oh, OK, that makes sense. And now we have a whole new set of movies to freaking bring out, or something right. crazy like Willow. Right. You had a self-contained movie and they didn't really make a whole bunch of mention of extra things. A lot of people, I feel, because I was one of them, kind of felt like how I did and was like, I wonder what's going on with the rest of the world. I would love to read like extra books. And they didn't really have anything for you to kind of delve in on. So a lot of people were like kind of making their own until they handed us more lore in the form of the new show, right? Which unfortunately has been canceled. Boo. But, you know, at least we got more story, like what happened after, some weird things about magic, some more of their world and how magical it actually is. I thought that was pretty cool. And then you have, you know, something else entirely, like in the video games. The video game that you were referencing was the Dark Souls series, where they don't really give you much story at the get-go. You're experiencing something and you're going through it, and the only way that you're really truly learning about the world that's going on is the few lonely characters that are talking to you. And they're all talking to you in a way that is very much self-centered. Like everybody in the Souls game that you talk to is very self-centered. They're very in it for, you know, hey, you need to do this thing because otherwise this is going to happen. And that directly affects me, and I don't want that to happen, right?
Right.
So anything that you do end up finding or understanding or learning are through, like, the various books and items and lore and things that you find as you're kind of playing the game. And then on top of that, my wife really likes to play the Skyrim Elder Scrolls series, and they have literal books that, you know, these creators took time to write that are history books about their world and all this stuff. And I know there's a lot of people who listen to the podcast who were really into the Bethesda games, which includes, you know, Elder Scrolls, the Fallout series, that kind of thing, who like that kind of stuff, too. But we also have other like media like the Cyberpunk. Not the Cyberpunk, I'm sorry. It was like, man, what is her name? It was Scarlett Johansson.
Aeon Flux?
No. Although that's a really good one, too. That's a really good example, too. But the other one, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. So Ghost in the Shell had a whole bunch of, like, interesting stuff to the point where if you saw the original animation, if you read the original books and then you saw the movie, I think if you were a person who was a real fan, yes, you would kind of understand and be mad at certain things that they did. But at the same time, you would have gotten like a lot of the deeper lore, like when Scarlett Johansson's character is, you know, she's doing all her stuff. She's going through these things. Am I okay to give spoilers? The movie's old enough, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the movie's old enough. Okay. So, you know, she goes through a whole thing, and a lot of people were like, oh, this character wasn't, she's not a white lady. They're whitewashing the character. And like, no, did you not pay attention to like the animation and the books? Like, she's a ghost in the shell. She's her outer shell doesn't mean anything. She could be anybody. And then it's revealed.
I thought they actually handled that really well in the movie. Like, yes. I was worried about it, but then when I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
yeah. She's literally a Japanese girl who was right. put into this shell. Yeah. So, like, it's like, yes, good. Congrats. Like, clapping all the way. Dug it. I personally liked the movie because I thought they handled it really well, and they explored the idea of being a ghost in a shell. Like, is your outer shell really you, or is the inner you really you? And I thought that was cool. But you see, but that's the kind of lore stuff that you wouldn't have gotten had you not, you know, at least been exposed a little bit to the deeper lore of what you know, the story was all about. And I love that kind of stuff, you know. Another really good example, The Dark Crystal. Man, The Dark Crystal goes hard. Like, they, in the original, like, Jim Henson movie, they give you a really brief story right at the get-go of the movie. Like, a spoken dialogue that gives you just a little taste of what the world is. And then you get this fantastical, super, I would describe it sci-fi fantasy story going through. And you get to experience the life of these very alien beings and how they kind of interact and live. But in there, also, I feel that was, I feel like theirs was intentional. Like, they wanted to tell more story, but Jim Henson just didn't get the chance to, like, do more with it. You know what I mean? And then we ended up getting books on the side. And the books and the artwork of Brian Froud, he put out, like, a bunch of art books for the movie telling more of the story. If you had gotten the art, like, the art book, really? You get more story from The Dark Crystal, like, stories and thoughts of the world by looking at the art book. He left it in different forms of media. Isn't that cool?
No, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's super rad. Like, have you experienced anything like that where you, I mean, obviously, other than the Star Wars, because I feel like Star Wars, they leave lore everywhere. The books, cartoons, toys, descriptions of the toys, like, all sorts of stuff like that. But outside of that, have you, is there anything that kind of makes you think?
I was as you were talking, I was thinking about, like, lore and how it reveals itself. So specifically with the Star Wars example, I was having this nagging thought in my brain, like, once upon a time, like I said, in the before times, there were the four movies. And everything else that you learned was either in an extended universe book or like an RPG game with wrong information or the back of a toy card. And what resulted was a lot of interesting headcanon as far as lore went. There was like some official stuff, but this is even pre like internet days, right? Before Wikipedia and all that jazz. So you didn't have anybody collecting this, like, accumulated knowledge. And because it became so ingrained in, like, headcanon and creating your own stories, I feel like the franchise suffers sometimes in the modern day because nothing they're going to give you is going to be the same as the stories that played out in your brain. Right.
Yeah.
Like we all played on the playground. We talked with our friends. We fantasized. And now, because there's been like a glut of Star Wars content, especially if you just consider it against like three movies, like just one show is more hours of entertainment than you got in those three movies. Like people, like it rubs them wrong. Like it comes up against it. And like when you're doing prequels, you know, now you're diving into the holiest of holies. Like sometimes there's like beauty in the unknown, like the, you know, Fought With Your Father in the Clone Wars, epic imagination line. But then you get the Clone Wars, and for some, like, they're like, yeah, finally. And then for others, but I remember when, like, Obi-Wan and Vader fighting on a lava planet, I don't even know where that information came from, but I was aware of it. You know what I mean? And me and my friends talked about, like, what that battle must have been like. And interesting, in some ways, we even knew that Vader was left, like, burnt and scarred, and that's why he was in the suit, you know? But then we got it in Episode 3, or, you know, the Kenobi show, giving stuff, or Clone Wars and Rebels and Bad Batch, and even in some ways, like, as disconnected as it is, like Andor and Rogue One, and sometimes these things that are given, like, the add to the lore, you're just like, oh, how beautifully it fits in. Or sometimes even in a better circumstance, it changes the way you view the previously established content just by how well it's done, right? But there's it's problematic. And like on that same, I don't know if you want to talk about that before I dive into like a different like thought process on it. Up to you. You're in charge of the show.
Well, no, like I think it's very well said. Go on. I don't want to stop your train of thought. Like
No. I've written myself notes. So did you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, not really. I mean, I think you covered it pretty well.
Yeah. So because like. There, I've told people there's a lot of stuff that I used to know that I had to forget, you know, because it's not true anymore or it's changed. And even like recently, if you read the comic with Caleb Doom, who you would know as Kanan Jarrus, they did like a 6-issue run. Some of that has changed because of the Bad Batch. And at least that that opening salvo of how he ends up on his own, or more specifically, Ahsoka. There was the amazing novel, which gave you some of her life, like post, like what we saw in Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Well, in one episode of Tales from the Jedi, they changed all that. You know what I mean? And took away some of the power of the story. And that sort of thing happens when you're expanding lore or when you're doing maybe established lore in a different medium. So it's interesting. It's really a beautiful problem to have as a geek if you're really thinking about it. If we want to go like prequels, anybody who listens to the podcast or knows me knows how big a fan I am of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'm a big fan. That's one of my top movies. The Wonka movie comes out and gives us some prequel stuff. It hit me just right. I think it gels well with the movie. It's all great. I love it. Some people hate it because they're like, no, this doesn't. This is not it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think lore is probably done the best when it allows for much more imagination. Because once you like concrete lore, you're going to have problems with dissatisfaction and subjective opinions. Whereas like, you know, your video games, your Dark Souls, all that lore, granted, you can dive as deep or as little into it as you want to, but that game hates you, so you might as well read all of it. Just telling your friend. But because they get to tell the lore out in a semi-linear way, they don't have to worry about that as much.
Yeah. So with that first half and now the second half, I was doing my best to try to think of other things that give me that kind of problem outside of Star Wars, because you're absolutely right. And like I said, you covered it so well. I don't know what really else I can add to it except my own experiences. Like, so, okay, going back to the video game side, there's the game series Mega Man. I'm a huge fan of the Mega Man franchise, of all the different games, how all the different Mega Mans link up, Mega Man to Mega Man X, Mega Man X to Mega Man Zero, Mega Man Zero to Mega Man ZX, and then ZX Advent, which is a couple years like after that one. So, and there are, I mean, the storyline between all the games passes by probably like 5,000, 6,000, almost 10,000 years worth of story. And in there is the lores in between that they don't give you. You have to speculate from like the games, like whatever little lore bits they give you. Oh, like Mega Man says a certain thing in one game, and then X says another thing in another game. And then Zero mentions something like 5,000 years in the future, because they're robots. They don't die, right? Unless they get completely like their information gets deleted and they get killed, then they're still alive. They're still around. So obviously they're still sharing stuff, right? So
right.
My big thing comes in, like you said, where is that point where my imagination filling in the gaps between all of those things, and then the things that they show us conflict. Was it better? Was it worse? Like, where do we kind of stand on those? And I fully agree with you. Like, you can run into those problems. For sometimes it's going to be better and sometimes it's going to be bad. But I got to say, for me personally, I don't care. And now I know. It's like, oh, okay, this is it. Cool. But like you also said, when they go and change it, then I get like, oh, well, we're retconning that and saying this is how it happened. You know what I mean? I feel like comic books are the biggest, you know, offenders in that way.
Oh, we were going to get there. That's in my notes.
Yeah, they're definitely the biggest one.
Like if you're going to Rashomon me, and if you don't get the Akira Kurosawa reference, just drop the podcast and go watch that masterpiece right now. But like if you're going to do it, it needs to be very clear that there is unreliable narration going on and that is part of the lore, you know. And like, I guess I could live in a world where freaking, it's just Hu Yang narrating to Ahsoka on a Purgle trip to another galaxy is how all these stories have been told. But yeah, I don't know. The Journal of the Wills, if you will. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's hard.
I agree. It's hard. But it is interesting. And I think it's that interest that keeps us coming back, you know?
I'm wondering, so when you're talking lore and story, there's also the examples. So okay, we'll say Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. Show ran 6 seasons, 7 seasons. Something. I don't know off the top of my head the total number of seasons, but in its absence, right? You know, you got the Angel show, so it did continue. But in the fan world, or maybe even if you want to go with those brothers that you really like.
Seven seasons.
There you go. With the Winchester brothers that you really love, right? That's their names?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, it's the Winchester brothers.
So in both of these examples, in the fan community, the lore has continued in fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few fans that the lore in the fan fiction is just as important as the actual concrete stuff that was given through the screen.
Yep.
So that's for me, I sort of feel that in some small ways for Star Wars, in my brain, the adventure that we haven't finished going on with the Rancor Pits and Kraid Dragons, it's something that happened. You know what I mean? Because it's so disconnected from the main story.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah. Who's to say it didn't happen? I mean, exactly. If Bakwan and freaking Yo don't actually exist in the Star Wars universe, it's just lesser than.
Exactly.
Now, do I think my Wookiee crime lord on Tatooine needs to be part of the canon? Maybe no, not so much, but I was a lot younger back then. I mean, you mentioned it, and that was going to be, that's where I was segueing over to, but I'm like, that's a big topic on its own.
It is.
You also have where the lore is immense, and that's comic lore, right?
Yes.
We're trying to think of other examples, like comic
lore. Dungeons and Dragons, comes to mind.
Dungeons and Dragons lore. You know, there's some other smaller examples. Dune, right? There's a whole bunch of novels between Herbert and his son that exist, but in the cinema, there's only the two movies from Denis Villeneuve and then the one from David Lynch and then the TV series and the weird animated. But there's a lot more lore that can be adapted. Same, you know, going for Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. You know, even Roald Dahl. If you really want to get specific, any author that did a shared universe style stuff where there's a lot of lore that hasn't been adapted. And then you run into we were saying when something's established and it's reimagined or reattacked and it's different. And you're like, oh, now the problem with comics is that happens in the comics, too. So,
yeah, exactly.
If you ever used the word retcon and didn't realize that it's retroactive continuity, meaning you go back and change the event so your continuity makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, some people might call that gaslighting. Man, if you learn nothing else, it's the comics have been gaslighting you for years. You just were okay with it. So that's also and I guess that's sort of that more specific than Star Wars fans, extended universe RPG creating their own headcanon, because that's actually learning material. And nobody's told you that you need to forget it until you need to. I don't know. There's some similarities, but also some big differences.
I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities in and of the fact that you have this established lore, they've shown you. It's been shown. Sweet. Cool. And then there's a lot of differences in the way that they handle it, this writer now. This is completely different, which is a little similar to how they did, the Ahsoka, those Ahsoka moments. But at the same time, whereas with the Ahsoka moments, I feel like you could be maybe they remembered it wrong. Maybe we're seeing this in the eyes of somebody else and how the story is actually going. In the comic book world, it's very no. That was a different guy. We just don't like that anymore. This is the new hotness. Just we're going to stick with this and just kind of moving on with it, which sometimes. You know, you like the change, sometimes you don't, but when you are trying to learn deeper lores, I'm not going to lie, I always kind of think of the retcons as we've jumped universes now, and all that stuff that already happened that we saw really existed, and now this also really exists, and both of those things are true just in different versions of the character, which is fun in comic books because you can, you know, they have multiverses and stuff like that already.
Right.
I think it gets a little more difficult when you have something as steady as like a Star Wars or a Dune or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. The comics can do the multiverse, like wave it away, or just the you know, geeks like us being like hands thrown up comics. Like,
yep.
You know, like there, and I mean, some of the problems with lore is like everybody knows a different amount. And I would argue that there's nobody that knows everything. Even like Pablo Hidalgo of Star Wars, he knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything because he's forgotten something or he doesn't have ready access to some of the information, which is what the interwebs or the computers are for. Like just thinking recently, there was the casting for Silver Surfer that Danny posted up on Laughing at Fuzzballs. And of course, that vocal minority of people that are real mad about the wokeness of the world, never realizing that it's you didn't wake up and it was like that, you fuck. But
exactly.
You're like putting on your best like geek voice, like, well, actually, if you knew anything about Silver Surfer lore, there has been a surfer who was female, Shalal Ball, from the same planet as Norrin Red, and that very well may possibly be what they're doing.
And actually, she was actually his a significant other in the very first Silver Surfer solo comic. So you need to learn your lore, buddy.
Yeah. So. And it's like, friend the geek that hates women, just look at pictures of like Juno or Shalal Ball and realize that this might actually be on the big screen, and shut your mouth while this gift was given to us.
Exactly.
In fact, if anything, I'm only worried because the way she's drawn is so incredibly sexy that it could be problematic if done comic accurate.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I was like, Danny, I want to make you proud. I want to make a Ghostbusters reference and be like, there are geeks like me that are the gatekeeper. But you know, we need a good keymaster to come over and unlock my rusty gates sometimes, like a big devil dog, and hump that information right out of me, so that we can get to the real truth of Zool. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, like sometimes we need it. And proton packs and crossing streams and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's be damned. Sometimes my gates need a good keying. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And if it's Rick Moranis, all the better. Hey, Roman, you proud of me? You're proud of me. Wayne Zaliski, Rick Moranis, you're proud of me. But yeah. So I don't know.
No, you're right.
What is your favorite way to get to lore?
Like, well, I think we so lightly touched on it. It really does depend on like what the media is. Whether I have to dig for it myself or kind of like get shown it. But with that being said, having done all of them, I gotta say, I really like digging for it. Like me working with the artists and the storytellers and then digging into things that they've left around, you know, or other members who, you know, happen to help with the story, living tidbits here and there, and me kind of searching it out and being like, oh, well, he wrote this part of the story and he said that this is what happened in that part. Do you guys confirm or deny? And they're like, oh, that's confirmed. You know, I love that kind of thing going into. And it wasn't the first time for me, because I for like the Dark Souls games, I don't think that was the first time for me, because I did do a lot of like deep searching for like books or comic or literally anything for like the Dark Crystal. I think the Dark Crystal was like the first. I want to know more. I only saw the one movie. I don't see anything else. And I kind of really dove deep and started looking at like Brian Froud's artwork. And he has the artwork of what are they called? They're the Skekuru or the Urusek. Urusek, I think that's what they're called. And it's the Urus and the bad guys put together, like the big white creatures with all the antlers and stuff on their heads, the aliens that came to planet, because they're aliens. they're not from that planet. They came to that planet with their technology and their ship and their whole nine and all this stuff. And I didn't learn what their actual names were until I read, you know, the art book from Brian. And I was like, oh, my God. And look at all these alchemical symbols, and the Uru are really good at doing these things and that stuff. And there was another one, and there was a whole bunch of them that actually came to the planet. By the time you get to the Dark Crystal, and even right before the Dark Crystal, there was like a ton of them that were on this planet. It wasn't just like the seven or eight that were there. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is bananas. We get a lot of deep stuff. And then the other thing that I learned was that they knew that their other half was like the Mystic, you know, the Skeksis knew, and so did the Mystics. They knew. And I was like, oh my God, like, they were fully aware of this, but they were just being really douchey about it. Like, holy shit, that's crazy to me. And I think I just really like to deep dive into things. I like to get in there. I like to look through everybody's media. I like to listen. You know what else? There was a video game. I feel like I do this a lot with video games and movies more than even comic book. The deep diving thing, that is, there was a video game called Undertale, and Undertale was like this big phenomenon. Are you familiar with any of that stuff, Joe?
Not really.
Okay, well, Undertale was like this really big thing, and it told a really good story, and it also dives into, like, you know, alternate timelines and stuff like that, and it was really, really well done. And you know what helped me understand the lore more was delving into the 8-bit music that was made by the creator, because he made the whole game. He developed the characters, came up with the story, like the majority of the story. He had some people helping him with writing and stuff, but the majority of the story. But he also composed the music for the thing, and some of the music helped, like, really flesh out some of the characters and some of the like the deeper emotion of, like, what's transpiring, because some of the stuff was written in such a way that you're like, you kind of question, like, what's the motivation here? Why did the characters decide to do this? And if you listen to the music, it kind of gives you that feel of like, oh, he's not only using a visual and a written word to kind of give you the thing. He's also showing you the basically showing you the emotion through an audible sense of what the music is going through and how the music picks up. And it's all, like, very psychological. And I fucking love that. I love deep diving like that. It's great.
Yeah, I think I'm very much on the same page as you there. But with the caveat that the original source material has to be textured and rich enough to warrant that sort of diving.
Yes, of course.
So, like, you know, not everything that I watch is gonna make me like dive deep. And I think one of the reasons I love Star Wars specifically is just because of the wealth of information, both in new content and the old, you know, the olden times. Like, I love nothing more than having a conversation about, you know, somebody being enslaved in the Star Wars universe. And then somebody's like, well, what species do that? You know, and like, mm-hmm. I didn't have the Zygerians like right at the top of my brain, but I had the Trandoshans at the top of my brain. And the other person had the Zygerians, and we got to like share thoughts and comment. And yeah. We're like, cats and lizards, they're the worst, you know. And they don't like each other in real life. So it makes sense. Yeah, like that sort of, and like where I work currently, I've gotten much more into the lore of it because of what I do, because of what some of my day to day consists of, and the joy of uncovering so much information of what Blackspire Outpost and Batuu is in the Star Wars universe has mm-hmm. been a new source of joy for me. You know what I mean? And while I am not by no means an expert on any of it, and then there's challenges where, you know, the Disney story being told versus like the canonicity of it, you know, there's some challenges that come in there. But like, I know a lot. I know a lot more than your average Joe on the street. So, and that's fun. And it's like a new fire in the Star Wars world. Like, somebody wants to talk Star Wars, so let's talk Batu. You know what I mean? it's pretty pretty freaking great. And I've you know, some things, and there's like a season for certain stuff that I dive deep into, where like I get really deep in the weeds and I learn some stuff and I have fun learning new things, and then I'm on to the next thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. The constant in my life would be the Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like for other things, like so Star Trek, when I was watching Picard season 3, there were a lot of crazy Easter eggs that people that dive really, really deep into the lore of Star Trek were like, oh my god. And like a lot of it passed over me, but I love somebody else that's like geeking out about it that wants to do a real quick, concise like encapsulation of it and share it with me and be like, oh, that's pretty freaking cool. Yeah. You know? So like I also appreciate other people that really love the lore and like do the dirty hard work for me. So
yeah, that's fair. I also like that stuff. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Purple Man the other day. We were talking about this anime called Bleach, and okay. I feel like Bleach had a lot of the same kind of problems like how comic books have, because obviously it started off as a comic book, right? Just a Japanese comic book, a manga. But it started off with like an initial story and a set of rules. And then he had to like kind of retcon those rules a little bit and then to tell the rest of the story. Right. And when he did that, I had kind of fallen off and, you know, I didn't really catch up. But Chris was really hardcore into like reading everything and seeing what happened. And like you said, it's really fun sometimes when somebody else gets really into it and deep, and then they just concisely just sit with you and just excitedly tell you about this deep lore that they found out, and you find out all this other rich stuff. That's great.
Right. It's I mean, with the mangas to animes, there is that challenge similar to the comic, you know, the American mm-hmm. comic lore.
Yep. So with all that being said, Joe, I think it's really easy for us to like name off a bunch of stuff that we just didn't want to learn the lore to. I mean, it's easy to be like, oh yeah, you know, Die Hard was a fun movie, but I don't want to dive too deep into Die Hard. It's just not a type of thing that I want to. I just want to eat my popcorn, watch it, and say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and then just bounce.
is it even possible to dive deep into Die Hard?
I don't know, and I don't want to know. I don't care enough, and that's what I'm saying. Is like, is it? I have no idea because I'm not interested. But while it's really easy for us to say that kind of stuff for stuff that we didn't want, is there anything that you can think of outside of the Star Wars? And I know you just mentioned a little bit of the Star Trek stuff. Is there any like thing off the top of your head that you can think of? Like you were like, man, I kind of wish I would have dived deeper into that lore, but I just, for, you know, one reason or another, maybe you didn't have time, you were busy with like school or something. Was there any lore that you felt like you wanted to, like just thinking back?
Well, now I'm trying to actively depress the stimulant centers in my brain that are still contemplating whether you can dive deep into Die Hard. Because that's how I'm wired. I'm curious by nature. The one that popped in my brain, and I don't know why, unbidden, I hadn't really even thought about it actively at any point, but I remember a conversation we had at one point. Gargoyles.
Yeah.
So I have a very passing memory of that show. I definitely watched it. I think I watched all of it. But it didn't entrench itself in my brain. And I think it was during the Blue Sessions, you were like going on and on about some Gargoyles lore, and I was just like, oh my god, this is freaking great.
I do love me some Gargoyles.
more recently, when we did our Constantine Defenders, which Danny asserts was a piss poor job at defending a movie, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Potato, potato. But although he really enjoyed listening to me unload on a movie, I guess. So there you go. But Hellraiser, Constantine, like there's a shit ton of lore that like I know some of it, but I think there's a lot that I don't know that I could really get into. I think my biggest challenge is just the time, you know, the time investment. And sometimes there's a monetary barrier as well. I'm always flirting with like getting like the DC service or the Marvel service so I can get access to a shit ton more comics digitally, but you know, the digital comics is a real barrier for me. that I haven't found a way to break through. So, yeah, like, those come to mind, I suppose. I mean, with more thought, I could probably give you a huge list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think with a little more thought, a little more time, rather than just jumping into it like this, we probably both could. But the one that really jumps out to me, that, like, immediately spoke to me was The Legends. The legend of, what was it, like, with Jack Frost and Santa Claus, like, him being portrayed as this character named North and the Easter Bunny. Do you remember that story, that movie?
I do. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There you fall into the lore that there's so many different ways that apple has been sliced. How do you even get to the original apple?
Yeah. Yeah. But I really, well, I mean, not the each individual story, but like that particular movie's story where they're all being brought together by the man on the moon, and they all used to be like a dead person, but now they're this entity protecting like a certain, you know, part of, like, you know, like wonder, and oh, they're the guardian of, you know, whatever, you know, like fun, the guardian of fun, I think was what Jack Frost was. And, you know, where did this start? Like, obviously the antagonist of the movie, Pitch, who's the boogeyman, was like the guardian of the fears of the children. And he was needed to, like, I know he was needed to, what, keep the kids away from the dark so that they wouldn't die back in the day. But now, I guess, because everything's lit up, he's no longer needed. Like, has that happened before? Like, what other kind of changes in their universe? How did that start? Like, are there other guardians? Like, what's going on? Like, I really want to know. Like, what's the deal? I think that's one of those lores that I always wanted to get into. But I just, for one reason or another, I just kind of fell off, and I don't know why. I think it was more the people that I was hanging out with at the time when it came out. Kind of like I just didn't have the time to jump into it, but that one like struck me right off the dome.
I don't know how interconnected the story is, but it just came to my mind. It actually has something very much to do with your dear wife, the Countess, and makes me think of an idea for a podcast episode of her just coming in and like spouting all that cryptid information that she has in her brain. Or cryptic.
Oh, yeah. And she has a lot. Like, yeah, like she can tell you
an entire episode just where she regales us with all that lore.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you could float pass that on to the Countess and see the Queen of the North has to say.
Oh, I'll absolutely pass it on.
And you could just join along for the conversation and listen.
And like, I would love it. I would
like
love
she
it.
Once upon a time did for an episode of the podcast back when I lived with Arvin.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, I'm always a sucker if it's historically based, even if it's still fictional. Like you're gonna find me like diving a bit. Like shit, just watching the show about the conspiracy and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln that's on Apple TV Plus right now called Manhunt. I've been diving into like, you know, what historians have said about like Mary Surratt and like some of the other characters, you know, besides John Wilkes Booth. So. That's how I'm programmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, lore and story can be both real and fictional.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Do you have any other like examples of like a real lore that you would like to get into?
I mean, there's lots of I always love that intersection of like witchcraft and the supernatural, like in the medieval time period of Europe. I took my capstone from my bachelor's in history. It was all about that in medieval Europe. And it was pretty freaking interesting. Like, and then there's some really great, like, you know, interesting ideas of like gender politics and dynamics when it comes to like the spirituality and the religiosity of the time period. So that I'm always like down for more. And like really like with witches, that's where like some of the most interesting stuff plays out. So yeah, and there's like the supernatural story that's being told, but also the real story that as historians have like, you know, changed the lenses that they're looking at this material, like new stuff has come to light. And yeah, it's hard to look at people at the past with a modern lens. You always have to worry about your objectivity and if you're doing a little anachronistic viewing of a period. But yeah, there's some really, really great stuff there. I'm fascinated by indigenous history. I have focused on North America just because of my own historical studies, but I know that there has to be like even more all across the world, especially because a lot of those stories have passed down into folklore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the myth making, I suppose, you know, because pre-written back when stories were just told verbatim. Mm-hmm. So yeah, all that stuff really interests me too. I love when that slides into some of our modern stuff that happens, like with the Prey movie, mm-hmm. you know, or with the stuff they did with Echo, or, you know, there's other examples.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super duper interested in learning more about, you know, my own ancestors, the Taino people. And like, I read, and I could be 100% wrong. I could be remembering it incorrectly. It could have been like old information and maybe we have like new historical information. But I had read that like cannibals, and the word cannibal was almost derogatory, and came from certain words that the Taino had for Canib people that were also found in the Caribbean area, and how Columbus had a whole hand in it and calling them the cannibals and stuff like that, people who eat people, and this whole big thing of it. And it's just really interesting to me. And my mom actually showed me these petroglyphs and such that the Taino people had that have been used for a real long time, and she didn't even know that the like these symbols that she used as a kid that they would draw all the time, that they learned them because they were the petroglyphs of the land that the Taino people used like all the time, because she grew up in Vieques, which is off the main island. It's on the it's a smaller island to the west of the main island of Puerto Rico, and you know, that's just something she grew up with. And now that she's older, she was like, hey, have you seen this symbol? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a Taino petroglyph. And she said, yeah, I just learned that. We've used these things for like forever. And I know this one and that one. And she was like drawing them out for me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like you really know all this stuff. And you didn't even know. She's like, no, I had no idea. And so she's really gotten me into like thinking about that kind of like what kind of deep lore and like stories do they have? Because then that goes into how, like, we spoke about cryptids and having Caitlin come on and talk about cryptids. One of the cryptids of Puerto Rico are called the Duendes, and the Duendes are like little like house elves. They do stuff and they're mischievous, right? But that spread from South America and you know, Aztec cultures and folks down there, and how it spread into the Caribbean and upwards. And I find that fascinating. That's like a deep lore that I would love to study.
I mean, if I learn nothing else, you just have to have a young British wizard give them some socks.
There you go.
Yeah, that problem solved.
Problem solved. Man.
Then they'll jump in front of wand bullets for you and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I think all that's incredibly fascinating, and you're not off the mark. Like what I know of the cannibal like attachment to a lot of those you know Caribbean islands has to do with Columbus relating like one story that he heard and then applying it to an entire people. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, if hopefully you take a lot of stuff away from this episode, but if you take nothing else away besides Dobby the house elf, it's fuck Columbus. So
yes. 1,000%, please. Yes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I guess I would not be sitting where I am if he had not been so lost, but still, fuck him. Fuck him. Yeah.
Yeah. Right in the front butt.
Yeah. Once again, you and your front butt. So, but yeah, America is still a relatively new nation. You know, going on the 500 year mark somewhere this century. And not like the actual country of America, but like history wise, at least, our Anglo-Saxon, Spanish, French history. But yeah, they're there's lore that will exist, you know, beyond us, provided we don't kill ourselves. But there's and I guess cryptids is part of that, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
it's a fun little. I think it's the funnest part of what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's some wacky stuff with like indigenous history. Once you learn about like the Aztecs and the Incas at their heights and like where they were and where they came from and like not places you like normally think of and yeah. And like indigenous tribes, like from where they were pre-colonial contact to like where they ended up. And yeah,
yeah,
lots of very interesting and quite tragic stuff.
For sure.
But yeah. Yeah. I think lore is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too.
And I mean,
it really helps us like get into the stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate like a long running subject matter that does give me a lot of lore without the homework.
Mm-hmm.
So like that can also be really, really fun. Like I guess Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon might be an example of that.
Yeah.
Where there's not much besides like what's been given. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot and a lot you could like consider and imagine and go beyond if you're so inclined. So yeah, there's enough material there that it sort of falls in that. But as more and more comes out, like it expands and yada yada. And like even like House of the Dragon being based off of the prequel book that George R. R. Martin did, but where they've changed things and like gone past it to some people's delight and other people's chagrin, you know?
Yeah.
So, or Lord of the Rings, you know, poor Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, so. Did not get any kind of recognition, not shown, not even part, and the reasons for it being, we didn't think it really helped the story, or like, yeah, but it's such a fun little thing, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that sort of stuff exists.
Exactly.
So, and yeah, you just gotta find like where you, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that's just like, fuck lore and all this, like, God, like, homework. God, you know what I mean? Like, just give me like surface entertainment and like maybe a couple questions, but just entertain me, you fools.
Yeah, and for that you just go watch Die Hard.
Yeah, yeah, you do. or Paul Blart Mall Cop, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing deep there. Just watch it.
Yeah, or any of the classic, like, Adam, what's his Happy Gilmore guy? Adam Sandler, you know? Like, you don't have to worry how interconnected little Nicky is with Big Daddy. You could,
exactly.
If you wanted to, but you don't.
Yeah, you don't want to know how Zohan got all his powers. Maybe little Nicky had something to do with that. You don't have to think about that. Just laugh.
This Coke tastes like Pepsi. still one of my favorite lines in an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. So your show, where are we going? What's the drill, Blue?
I mean, is there any more that we can cover? Is there any more that you think? Because I think we did a pretty good job.
I mean, considering we did zero preparation for this and it was probably encapsulated in like 30 words in a group text. Yeah, I think we did a pretty bang up job.
I think we did a pretty damn good job covering. But, I do leave that open for anybody who's listening. Like, tell us, interact, like, chat with us. Let us know how do you like to consume your lore? Like, what are your favorite lores? Do you like, you know, I will absolutely chime in if you're mentioning anime, video games, kaiju. If you want to throw some kaiju lore at me, I will happily go toe-to-toe with you about all my favorite giant monsters and such. If you want comic books, I dare you to try some deep lore with The Simpsons against Joe, the Wookiee Riot. I dare you. And if you have any questions, just ask him anything. He will school you on all of the deepest lore from the town of Springfield.
I have forgotten more than you will ever learn, friends.
Exactly.
Oh man. Oh god. I have not flexed that muscle in a while, but god, I love it. Mm-hmm. I just had the boys watch Marge versus the Monorail like last week.
Wow.
Like, we want to watch Simpsons. And I was like, all right, we're going to watch the best episode. You know, my subjective opinion. Uh-huh. And Tyler was like, Dad, why is this funny? And I was like, get out. I literally looked him in his beautiful blue eyes and was like, get out.
Oh, that's funny.
And Shawnee's takeaway was bitey. So yeah, some children are like you and some children aren't, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I definitely especially with like your D&D and all that stuff, there was a period of my life where I dove deep into fantasy, like so freaking deep, especially in my Dragonlance days.
Yeah,
which is like version one of D&D.
Yeah.
But there's always the hook, line, and sinker there where I just have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to a guy I work with that's doing something similar along the lines of your Capes and Caverns, but a little more video production. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, always flirting with the dark side there. So, yeah.
That's fair.
I'm basically one adventure party lining up with my wife's work schedule from starting a campaign with someone.
There you go.
So
I know exactly how that feels. I've been feeling the itch myself to start a new character.
Fair. Yeah. But all that stuff's freaking great. I mean, I'm like you. I like lore. I like looking things up. I like learning things. You know, like I enjoy that. And like, learning real world things is great, but your brain has to be wired for a certain amount of sadness when it comes to the real world.
That is 100% true.
The more you learn about the past, the more it may change the way you view both the present, the future, the past. But like in the fictional world, like there is some real sad stuff. But you still get to disconnect and be like, at the end of the day, this is just things I'm watching for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's safer psychologically, maybe. Question mark. Unless you're playing Dark Souls, because that game hates you.
Because the game does in fact hate you. Yes
I witnessed it. I witnessed some of the trauma that is done on my bestie. That game that game is not my friend.
No.
Yes. I don't know. I didn't even mention it, but I was at one point I wanted to mention Max Payne and how, like, when you were talking about your stuff and like sometimes lore is detective style. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's intrinsically built that way where you are supposed to change based on not even necessarily unreliable narrator, but just like stopgap narration, or there has to be a fancier name for that. I just don't have it at the top of my head.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't. No, I ain't got it.
Yeah, but, like that was one of the games I played where just like as you go along and the detective tale like unfolds, or if you want to do like one of what I think is one of Christopher Nolan's best movies, like Memento, where it's told completely backwards.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. With Guy Pearce in the main role, and he's got the tattoos.
Yep.
And that movie just like blows your mind because you're going backwards, like you have no choice but to like view things you've already seen in different lights.
Yeah.
And then like I just mentioned it on the latest like solo episode of the podcast, but like in Star Wars, sometimes there's a writer, usually it's writers that do something that like introduce a new idea, which change absolutely nothing about the story that follows it. But it gives you this little nugget where you're like, oh, wow, that just brings like a whole new meaning to this thing that never needed the meaning in the first place. But it's sort of lovely. And that's like why Obi-Wan goes by Ben, and it's tied into Duchess Satine, and it's just lovely. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's very safe. It hurts nothing. And I'm a big fan of those sort of like, you know, lore additions.
Same.
Yeah. And when done well in that regard, like the Ben info, you're just like, fuck, that's righteous, you know? Or like Rogue One going into episode 4. Like episode 4 is just fine with or without Rogue One. But yeah, as a preceding event, like it makes different ideas.
And I think that's so cool that they have opened up a way that anybody who's brand new to like the Star Wars franchise can actually watch those movies before they watch, you know, part 4. Like you can watch Rogue One now before you watch part 4 and get that deeper lore of like what they were talking about. You can watch the prequels first and then watch, you know, the original trilogy. It's cool. you don't have to fight for it. It's given to you, you know. But man, it's just such an interesting time we live in right now, where we have the option. And I love that our geeky culture is to a point where how we consume our stories, our lore, our tidbits of information, our cool little things that we enjoy, our own little worlds. We have the options. We have the options to how we want to consume them. It's so cool.
It really is super cool.
Yeah.
So
definitely didn't have this kind of the freedom as a younger man, you know?
Yeah. When I was younger, we would have been talking about Dungeons and Dragons and all that for sure. And maybe some Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, it was rad. Wow, we really, I think we did way more than I thought we were going to do with this topic.
I never worry about us. We've been doing this long enough.
Yeah, I was a little worried right at the get-go, but I was like, man, we as soon as we were on the roll, I was like, oh, this is going to be.
yeah, like, I don't stress about it.
Yeah, as soon as I got excited, I was like, oh, we're on top of this. Okay.
Yeah, I think only trepidation I had is like I hadn't given it that much serious thought because I just hadn't had time to.
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, we'll see how those synapses fire and where it goes.
Mm-hmm. I was driving Darth John to the airport because he's going to Egypt, and I was like, that wasn't on my mind. I didn't even know what we were going to do tonight. And then you brought it up again, and I was like, oh, shit. Like yeah. 2 minutes before we started.
Egyptian lore and mythology is very interesting.
Incredible. Yes, I agree.
I also, I mean, other than the fact that like the Greek and Roman gods are complete dicks.
Yep.
Like that stuff's very interesting. Norse mythology, like all mythologies. Very, very, very interesting.
Yep.
So, sure. Yeah, I dig all that too.
I do too. I like the stories that they kind of build around them too. Like, you like new stories whenever you get somebody basing something off of like, you know, some old mythology or something. You'll get some like new Hercules or Heracles. I actually saw somebody recently in a video talking about how she was literally about this topic. She loves to consume like lore and stories. And the one thing that like gets her goat is whenever they put, oh, Hercules, the son of Zeus, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, Hercules is his Roman name. If you're saying Zeus, which is his Greek name, then you should be calling him Heracles because that's his Greek name. Stop mixing it up. It's really confusing for me, who is a scholar in these things. And I was like, that's where our geeky lore gets us. We get to that point.
It does. That's me with Danny with his pronunciation of Asajj Ventress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, today I was in the break room and somebody was like talking about the news of Autopia converting all their cars from gas to electric, but they said Autotopia. So I really wasn't listening because I knew what they were talking about and they weren't going to add anything to like a one note story. But then I turned to the guy, I'm like, did you say Autotopia? And like walked out of the room. So, yeah.
That's funny.
So, yeah. Yeah, I feel it. I feel it on a deep spiritual moral level. I mean, there's some days where I hear all this information. I'm just hanging on to the hamper like Michelangelo and Raphael. And that information will make no sense to you, but it does to Blue and Danny. And that's what matters.
And that's what matters. That is a good one.
But thanks, Blue. This was fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was super fun. Way, way more fun than I gave it credit for in my brain. I thought to myself when I had first pitched it, I was like, this could be a really fun one. I think I'm pretty sure it could be a pretty fun one. I think Joe would enjoy it. And I'm glad to see that we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun thought exercise.
For sure. For sure.
And I mean, I got
plenty to talk about.
I got to be careful because this is, I guess, officially your second, like you hosting the level. And damn it, if you're not like 2 for 2. So. Yeah, before I know it, people are going to be like pounded down the doors of Laugh at a Fuzzballs and be like, new host, new host, new host.
I don't, I sincerely doubt that that's ever going to happen.
And I'm going to be like, friends, you can make these demands, but I don't guarantee that the Marshall or the Earl of Blueberry are going to have the time to guarantee an episode every week for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not as powerful as Joe, the Wookiee, right?
That's not it. Frankly, I have no idea how the fuck it's happened or continues to happen, but it happens.
Of your consistency is incredible.
You can thank a 6 years dead friend. Yep. if you are grateful, just, you know, say thank you, Sean, every night before you go to bed.
Yep, for sure.
So, yeah. And yes, the same name as my son. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, Blue, close us out. It's your show.
Oh, boy. All right. I guess we'll just throw me in there because you are technically the host. You could catch me at Blue Wolf D on Instagram, where I do a whole bunch of artwork. You can also catch me on Capes and Caverns, which was mentioned just a little bit earlier. We finally got a new episode out. Huzzah! Last Monday, we came back strong. We did a full, almost 2.5 hours worth of our amazing superhero-inspired D&D little campaign that we're running right now. Our wonderful host, Stephen Thomas, who you can find at Silver Bulette on Twitch and on YouTube, Silver_Bulette. Sorry about that. But you can catch Stephen Thomas on there. He is our wonderful host who has, you know, hosted us for both that and All the Webs of Stage, which is his wonderful podcast about theater and stuff. Also, you can catch us, the wonderful Capes and Caverns crew, on YouTube as well under Capes and Caverns or Capes and Caverns. We have our wonderful DM right now, Cameron Jackson. Cameron is an incredible storyteller, so much so that they let him run a theater in Oregon and they allow him to actually put some of his own plays and some of his wonderful poems up. And of course, we've also been joined by our wonderful friend, Autumn Gerbersky. Autumn is a voice actor and also a former skipper, friend of Joe and myself. You can catch us on there almost every other Monday when somebody is not actually doing live shows or on a movie set or something like that. Not me. I'm not so special, but the rest of my friends are very talented. So
you could be.
Let's not go there. But as long as they are free, we'll be there for you guys. So catch those shows on YouTube, on Twitch, every other Monday. Next Monday should be another show. Fingers crossed. Hopefully. That throws it to you, Joe.
So the only plugs I have, since it's not my episode, is at Wookie Riot on X and Blue Sky and Threads and Instagram. How do we close out the show, though, Blue?
Oh, I'm never good at that. You know this. That's why I threw it to you, Joe.
I thought I had magnificently, like, given you all the information without people realizing.
You did, almost, kind of.
Yeah, like if you checked the chat.
Oh, I see. Congrats on completing level 3 minutes. Think positive, test negative, stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and good luck out there. Feel free to contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Wookie Riot. You can also reach the show by email at laughitupfuzzballpodcast@gmail.com or by joining the Facebook group. Plug onto that. Facebook group is absolutely incredible. We'd love to hear from you. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/laughitupfuzzball. Also, subscribe to the feed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Breaker, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Spotify, or any of the apps that you happen to pull from those sources. Go do your thing so I can keep doing mine. That's the wonderful Joe. That's all his stuff. Not actually me. I'm speaking as if I were Joe, just helping him out. Anyways, if you feel so inclined, drop a positive rating on the comment on those apps. Ratings help others find the madness. Tell your friends. Geekery is always better with peers. Thank you for being part of this hilarity. There's a plethora of ways to comment about the show, and I look forward to seeing your thoughts. Once again, folks, if you're listening, please jump into the Facebook group, Laugh It Up Fuzzballs. It's a fantastic group. We're not going to kick you guys out. I help out. Joe, for some reason, has made me a moderator, and I appreciate it greatly. So come chat with us. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about, you know, lore or literally anything else that's geeky. I'm trying to make my presence a little more known and be on top of this stuff a little more. So help me help you help me. So that whenever Joe actually says, you could do it too, I will actually believe him. I would like to believe him. So help me out with that and actually jump in here and give me something to work towards. Thank you. And
my favorite part is I'm not going to cut out either, like telling you to go to the chat, how like your entire tone changed and became so much more robotic because it was blind reading of like text.
Yeah. Great. And it's like, absolutely fantastic.
If you had sent me a blurb like that, my brain would already be changing like eyes to we's and like cutting thing out because that's how I'm wired. And I'm just like trying to like very like, oh, this is so cute. I love it.
Yeah, no. I just went to blind reading. I wasn't prepared. Didn't prep. Nothing. Where was I? May the force be with us all. Thanks for stopping by. You stay classy. Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes. TTFN. Wookie.
And
that's you.
Me.
And me.
You, Blue. Me, Benjamin Blue, Blue for Blue the Fourth, Earl of Blueberry.
All of the honorifics. And we're out. Yeah,
we're out. So Blue, you did great. I love it. Thanks. I look forward to the listeners being like, your days are numbered, Wookie. They're numbered. The Blue Renaissance has begun. if nothing else, it'll be great to hear what the Marshal says.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, friends.
Chew me out.
It's not my show, so Blue gets the final word.
Okay, and that final word is bye.